The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Passed away recently, but when I met her before, I was going on and on about this story and whatever. I was like, why is this lady not thinking I'm hilarious? And I realized, oh my gosh, it's Cicely Tyson. Salisha, shut up. And when I looked at her, her eyes were just
magical. Mitch.
She was not from here. I know she's not from here.
Yeah. There's times in your life when that stuff happens for you.
It just,
you have to catch it, right?
You have to be present in order to catch it, realize what's happening. And so when this homeless man looked at me, I'm like, I got so lost in his eyes. And he just said, I don't know who you are, but you need to move here. And you need
to. Did he know you weren't living here? Or did he just say that?
I don't think we'd talked for very long. I think he had just sat down.
Now, was this before or after Cicely Tyson passed away?
Oh, before. This was years. Oh, this is 2014.
So it wasn't like reincarnated. Okay, got it.
Oh, my God.
You know, you never know, right? I mean, I don't know. I think we get one time around, but who knows?
What a fun question. What a fun thing to think about.
Crazy. It could have been reincarnated somebody.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, I'm Salisha Thomas, and I'm so excited to be a part of PodMax today and with Mitch Beinhacker on The Accidental Entrepreneur. I'm so honored. I'm a Broadway actress and a blogger, and also am the host of Black Hair in the Big Leagues and just starting my new show, The Salisha Show, and I'm so excited for all of the things.
All right, Salisha. So I have been waiting all day to get you on the microphone because I had all these interviews. You're my last of the day. And but it gave you time to get, you know, warmed up and deal with all these people. But I just want everybody to know, though, not only are you on Broadway, and I think I did see you because I saw Beautiful, and I guess you were in the show, I think, when I saw it.
I think so. We talked about it before.
Timing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were on Broadway. And I know it's been difficult this year with Broadway and everything, but hopefully it's coming back and everything. But I want you to tell everybody your story, like, you know, growing up, where you grew up, how you got into theater and acting and all the stuff you're doing and what we got coming up next. So we can make like 50 minutes out of that, right?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? It's like, which direction do you want to go? Like, I grew up wanting to be a lawyer, wanting to be a musician, wanting to be the president of the United States. And I chose acting My theater teacher, which I loved, I was like drama club president in high school. He was like, do you really want to be a lawyer? Or do you want to act like a lawyer? I'm like,
There you go.
Psh,
to play one on TV. Yeah.
So I like took voice lessons for this pageant I was in because I needed a voice lesson, decided I loved singing, majored in it in college, became a vocalist for Disney. Okay. It was like my dream job as a college kid. Almost didn't graduate at all, but ended up graduating early. What?
Oh, that worked out.
That worked out.
God, and you were out in California at this point, right? Because Disneyland is where you were?
Yes. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. Oh, you have such a good memory. Yeah, last time I talked to you, Mitch, I was in California.
Well, you also sent me your bio, so that refreshed my memory out of fairness to you.
Yeah. I forgot it.
I know you're impressed with my memory, but I don't have very good memories.
Yeah. I always wanted to like live out in New York City, and you know, the funny thing happened, Disney dropped me down to one day a week. I'm like, how the heck is somebody supposed to live on one day a week? But yeah. I feel like when life
throws you a curve.
Yeah. Like, okay. Listen to the curve. Like, I stopped getting work out in Los Angeles and Orange County. I'm like, what's wrong with me? And my days got dropped down at Disney. And I was thinking like, well, if I can barely make it in LA, how the heck am I supposed to make it in New York City? But I always wanted to live in New York. And so I came out here to visit, bought a one-way ticket, didn't tell anybody. And my heart, oh my God, just.
You like the city, huh?
I love it.
Yeah. It's coming back though, right? You're there. It's kind of awakening up again and things
since
are opening.
The pandemic, yeah.
Good. But Broadway's not open yet, right?
Not yet. Not until but the fall.
I know they are selling tickets though, because I think my mom bought us tickets for the fall or something for a show. Come from away. Yeah. Come from away. Right. That's the one, the 9/11 one, right?
Yes. You're like wick.
Yeah. We're coming in the fall. So I guess they are selling tickets. So that should be good, as long as nothing doesn't come back. In the fall, some upsurge.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly right.
Dear God.
I know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fingers crossed. So I'd come out here to visit, and I ended up running into somebody, a homeless guy, who was like, you need to move here. You need to do it now. And there's a whole story with that, but I actually put my notice in the same day that homeless man told me to and came out to New York.
Wait a second. Let's go. This always happens when someone's talking to me and I'm like, you do what? You're out, you're visiting in New York. You meet a homeless guy. Not that, you know, there's plenty of homeless people. You can meet one, right? It's not that that weird, but you're very friendly. So not everybody's going up to a homeless guy. So, and then he convinced you to move to New York.
Yeah.
Like what made him so convincing that other people hadn't convinced you of?
He just sat down next to me on the, waiting for the train. And he looked into my eyes, and I looked into his eyes, and his eyes were sparkling. And whenever I meet somebody whose eyes twinkle, I cannot look away. I'm like, I always think like, who are you? I don't know if you know who Cicely Tyson is, but
yeah,
she,
of course.
She's like in the Black community, like the mother of grandmothers of like she's everything.
What do you mean? And she's in the entertainment community. Everybody knows.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she just passed away recently. But when I met her before, I was going on and on about this story and whatever. I was like, why is this lady not thinking I'm hilarious? And I realized, oh my gosh, it's Cicely Tyson. Salisha, shut up. And when I looked at her, her eyes were just
magical. Mitch,
she was not from here. I know she's not from here.
Yeah. There's times in your life when that stuff happens for you.
It just
you have to catch it, right?
You have to be present in order to catch it and realize what's happening. And so when this homeless man looked at me, I'm like, I got so lost in his eyes. And he just said, I don't know who you are, but you need to move here. And you need
to. Did he know you weren't living here? Or did he just say that?
I don't think we'd talked for very long. I think he had just sat down.
Now, was this before or after Cicely Tyson passed away?
Oh, before. This was years. Oh, this is 2014.
So it wasn't like reincarnated. Okay, got it.
Oh my God.
You know, you never know, right? I mean, I don't know. I think we get one time around, but who knows?
What a fun question. What a fun thing to think about.
Crazy. It could have been reincarnated somebody. Okay, so that was it. So that it all took was the homeless guy and and
then
you
I moved
home,
here 2 weeks later.
I sold everything.
I sold everything from Facebook. I was like, if you want it, oh man. And I had just moved into a brand new studio apartment in Yorba Linda. And so all my furniture was just gorgeous. Gave everything away for like $100. I was just like, I'm leaving. If you want it, it's yours. How much you got? $100? Here's my table and four chairs. How much do you want for my bed? Great. $150?
Really?
Awesome. Everything was like brand new. Yeah, just gave it away.
And then you moved to New York. Well, you had to buy new furniture. There's no apartments in New York. Oh, you subletting an apartment. So there was furniture there. You didn't need it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All I needed was my suitcase. Came on in and it just worked out. Like before, like after that homeless man said that, an old, like somebody from my college was like, Salisha, looking for a sublet. Do you want it? I'm like, Deanna, if I say
really?
Yes.
That's crazy. There's things like that that happen in life. It's just like, all happens at the same time. I think it's an energy thing. Like, I think you were putting it out to the universe that you're moving and you had committed to moving.
Yes.
Right. And then your friend was like, you know what? Let me reach out to somebody.
I need a sublet.
I don't know why. Maybe she knows somebody.
Rent was $800. The apartment was adorable. It was clean in a great neighborhood. I'm like, if I say yes, Deanna, like that is... And she was like, I know, but you're my first choice.
She knew, but she didn't know you were coming to New York, did she?
Well, I was here visiting. But I still still at Disney. And so everything just
fell into place.
And the week I got back, I got Beautiful, the Carole King musical. Mitch, I hadn't even unpacked. Like, I'm telling you, I had stopped getting work in Los Angeles and I got to New York and got a show that was in my life for the last
five
years.
And you like went for an interview? I mean, an audition, like right when you landed here and then?
Yeah, I think like about 3 days after I'd arrived, I saw Motown on Broadway and somebody from my college was on the stage and I wrote him on Facebook. I'm like, he probably won't write me back because he's like a Broadway star. He was like, oh my goodness, Cal State alum, come backstage. And I did. And he was telling me everything, showing me around and telling me that he was in final callbacks for Kinky Boots and Beautiful. And he was like, you could be in that. You should ask your agents about that tonight. And I did. And they were like, we probably can't get you in, but we'll try. And the next day, they gave me an appointment, gave me all the songs and the script to like for my audition. And I went in the next day. And Mitch, I didn't realize that they'd been casting this first national tour for months. And that they were on their final week of casting and still hadn't found this one track.
For you, like the character you were playing.
Yeah.
And you just fit it.
After the weekend, they called me and said, you're going on tour.
Nice. So it's a good thing you were subletting. So now you're leaving New York and you're going on a national tour. Because the first one wasn't on Broadway. Broadway was later.
Yeah.
So your agents were what? Still in California, but didn't matter, right?
Yeah, they were bi-coastal but mostly based in Southern California. And I guess them and the casting director, like, and that was new to their agency too. They went through my Facebook to see like what I was like.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you were new. They didn't really know you that well.
No. So they were looking through my photos, looking through my posts. I'm like, okay, well, that's who I am. And
okay. So, and how long did that tour go on?
Oh, I was on, it went on for a while. I was on tour for about 2 years.
But it was off and on. You weren't on the road for 2 years straight. You would go back.
Oh, no. 2 years straight.
Like, Monday not was even, my only like day you off. Moved to New York. A week later, you get picked for this. Then you go on tour and you leave New York now for another 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say there was a 9 month waiting period in there.
Yeah.
Because I got the show and then we didn't start rehearsals for another 9 months.
Oh,
so I had 9 months to enjoy New York. And also I was living on, I call it my opportunity fund. Before getting to New York, I thought I was going to get married. I was literally 21 years old. Like, what do I know? What do I know? But I was saving up for a wedding and this guy freaking dumped me. And so, but I had this buttload of cash. And so I would not have been able to move to New York without it. Because if I asked my parents for permission, they would have been like, absolutely not.
Right.
You want to quit your job and move to Harlem? Are you crazy? But because I had saved up, I was able to buy my ticket, make arrangements and say, hey, guys, I'm moving. This is the day that I'm moving. I hope that you support me.
And then you can pay some bills for a while.
Yeah. So I had 9 months of that. And then I hit the road nonstop. It was really a year and 9 months.
Yeah, because 9 months you have to then start rehearsing. You don't go on the road the next day. You have to rehearse.
I mean, we rehearsed for 6 weeks, but yeah.
Less than 6 weeks. Oh, that was it, huh? Wow. Like, okay, now we're going.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And do the tours always end up back on Broadway or not necessarily?
No. Well, the show on Broadway had opened before the tour.
Okay. So it was a different cast at that point.
Oh, yeah. Different cast. Yeah. But always the hope of like man, that'd be so cool if like one day I got bumped up to the Broadway cast. And I remember like saying that out loud once. And I felt so silly saying it, but the girl was like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? And I finally said it. And she was like, she laughed in my face. She was like, first of all, it's never going to happen.
Was she older than you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was negative. You were not.
I felt she stomped on those dreams so hard.
Yeah. You need to be a believer. Don't let those people, you just like avoid them. The negative, you know, the negative people. They're like crashing and burning. Let
it
them.
It was bad. I was like, I felt so ashamed for even saying it out loud. And you know what? They did bump me up to the Broadway cast and a lot of others. Like the Beautiful, the Carole King musical, like the Charlotte Wilcox Company, which is the general manager of the show. They enjoyed giving people their Broadway debuts. Like they loved it because it was a show that was so well written. They didn't need stars. Like the show sold itself.
It was the music that should, Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just such a
great
experience.
Like Jersey Boys, they didn't need stars either. Yeah. They needed good performers, people with good voices and stuff like that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great show. So, yeah. You know, I don't like the shows where the star like overshadows the show. I mean, I know at some point you had guest stars, but after the show got going, but it just overshadows. Like I saw Evan Hansen and Ben Platt wasn't in it and he had gone and then there was an interim, I guess he was the understudy until somebody else came on. It was great.
It was great. And you know what? It was great for me before I knew who Ben Platt was. Before, like, he wasn't a star to me.
No, that's where he started, right? Nobody knew
I didn't know who he was, and the show was fantastic. If I would have seen him after he was, like, Ben Platt, like, it would have been, like, still very good. But it was even good not knowing who he was. Just like you said, it was good hearing his
He didn't start there, though, right? Didn't he start in some movies, and then he became well-known? And
Pitch Perfect.
Oh, Pitch Perfect, right, with, what's her name? Anna Kendrick, I think, yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's where he started. And then he went on, they want to attract people to the show. So they get famous people. So that's cool. Okay, so this is very exciting. So what else did you do? Like, did you have to, like, live the life of an actress where you got to wait tables at night? And
Okay, I will say that I did have a waitressing job for a little while. So after I decided I am moving to New York, I was in in interviews for a restaurant position, and like it was like five rounds of interviews
for a restaurant.
Yes, for a restaurant plus a personality test and a math test.
A math test because you got to add up the check.
But it wasn't like what's 10%? Like it was like an actual. Like,
I've seen those. They're aptitude tests and. I've had a friend take one. She was like going to run like a little office and she's taking these things. She had to like learn long division. And she says to me, why do I need to know this? They're just using the test. Yeah.
It's an aptitude test. And after the fifth round, they said, well, we love you. You've got a job. I was like, well, I don't actually live here. They're like, we know. But if you ever decide to move to New York, the day you get here, you've got a job.
Was this like the diner where you sing or was this like a regular restaurant?
No, it's just a fancy bougie restaurant.
Fancy. Jesus. Tough
it's
to get in there.
Hillstone. Okay. And so when I got back the day, I think maybe three, whatever day was my first day auditioning for Beautiful. That was my first day at the restaurant.
So you like auditioned during the day and then you had to go work at night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, and mind you, I had been used to being a princess, a literal princess for 2 years. Like at Disneyland, we had five shows and each show was 23 minutes and I was on stage for less than-
You literally were one of the princesses?
Yes. Like I got dressed up in ball gowns and was on stage for like 2 minutes for five times a day. That was my whole day for 8 hours. Getting paid well to go from that to-
To go backstage and then you, whatever their, off
stage
place
was. I was taking out
was.
The garbage at the restaurant. I'm
like, they got rats and pigeons. That's what New York is.
Rats and pigeons. And they didn't get
But you wanted to
break.
Follow your dreams. So that's part of the deal, right?
It's like, I guess this is what people do, but I hated it. But most of the reason I kept the job was because people are like, how are you living? How are you living? And so saying like, oh, I work at this restaurant. I don't know.
This
I didn't
It sounded
have to talk-
like you were harder, right?
Yeah.
You were
like- Like
you're doing what you're supposed
savings.
To be doing. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm, you know, I work at this restaurant.
You're
so
young,
hard.
So it's good. Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
I worked there like 4 hours a week, but they kicked my butt though. I was not good at it.
No.
No, people were like, ma'am, how long's the wait? I'm like, do I look psychic? I don't know.
That's what you would say to people?
Yeah. I'd get in trouble. Or I'd make up a time and I'd be That's like, so funny. 90 minutes. And they'd be mad and walk away. And the manager would be like, what happened? I'm like, I told him a 90 minute wait.
This was like you were hosting uh-huh. one day. And yeah. you get to tell people coming up, you're like, I don't know, could be 2 hours. 2 hours, they leave. Yeah.
I don't know. Looks pretty packed to me.
Yeah, it looks busy. He's like, you don't tell people that. Tell them 30 minutes, 20 minutes.
I got in so much trouble every day. I was so bad at it.
It's so funny. That's so funny.
I was just waiting to be fired, but they would never fire me.
Well, you didn't care because you wanted to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, now you like they're giving bonuses to the waiters and waitresses. They can't get enough people to work in these restaurants now because they're all getting unemployment and they're getting too much money. I have clients that have restaurants and they can't open because they can't get like bus people and kitchen people to come to work. Wow. Like they got to stop this. And yeah, they're all closed. They're like doing takeout. But I said, when are you going to open? So we come and eat. Says, right. I don't have enough people to open.
Whoa.
And all of my colleagues all down the block, they have the same problem.
That is very interesting. It makes me like wonder because I went to Walmart the other day and it was like the worst experience of my life. And there was no employees working. Like
there
it was only self-checkout.
I'm
and it
sure
makes
it's
me
the
think,
same
like,
thing. Yeah.
Is it because
they're getting
the
extra money
wage is
no,
too
right.
little?
Yeah. And they're getting unemployment and the unemployment is either equal to or better than.
Why is minimum wage
because
so low?
Well, that's two things. One is it's never really been properly adjusted. So now it's moving up to whatever it is, $15 an hour or something.
Like, that
Plus,
shouldn't be an issue.
They subsidizes all this stuff during the pandemic. So it caused people to be paid more than they were getting. There's grant money. There's all kinds of money out there. So yeah. That's going to stop at some point. But
yeah. Oh, you know, God.
People like don't. I mean, look, if you're blue collar and maybe even an immigrant, right? You're working at a restaurant, like you said, and you're young. And you got all kinds of energy. It's hard and it's stinky, whatever. Now you're home and you're making enough money to pay your bills or you're making the same thing you're making before. And you're like, what the hell do I need this for? You know, you're not 21.
I'm
going to
spend time with my family.
50. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's going to be a real problem with our economy. We've got different aspects of the economy that's going to like crash.
Yikes.
Yeah, so we'll see. But Broadway will come back.
Oh, fingers crossed.
So what do you got going on now? You got be right because you must be. If they're selling tickets, people got to be planning to give the shows. So are you involved with that right now?
Yes, yes and no. So each show is doing their own thing, and they're announcing their opening dates. They're announcing their cast. Some shows are letting the cast know before they announce to the public. Other shows are doing the opposite. I know of a few shows like that. The show that I was in prior to the pandemic is doing that. Like they have announced that they are coming to DC. And Broadway, and they've announced when that's happening. But the whole cast, we're on the group chat like, y'all heard anything? They're like, nah, man.
Yeah, because you know why? It depends on the show. The show, they either want to know they can sell tickets, and then they'll get the cast lined up, or they know it's a good show. Like it's, I don't know, Hamilton or something, and they doesn't matter. They're going to sell tickets. You know, so it's probably the other, but you just got to wait. So are you auditioning for multiple shows because you don't know what's going to hit?
So yes and no. Like I think my agent is, word on the street is everything's going to be what we think it's going to be.
Right. Like because more, until something changes health wise and the directives change, you're going to operate business as usual right now.
Right. But of course, like also God sometimes just laughs at our plans. So there's that. So my agent is definitely sending me out for things just like to keep our options open. But like, I hope it all works out because I really love that show.
Maybe you land like a major motion picture or something, a movie. Do you go to movie auditions? TV auditions? You do everything, right?
A couple. I've just started getting sent out for those.
I told you look like Whitney. If they're going to do the Whitney Houston story, you could be one of the characters, at a certain age. Yeah, you do.
I would love that. Thank you.
Especially with your hair up like that. It looks so something. Yeah. I told you Whitney's buried in my town. Remember we talked about that?
Yes.
Yeah, in the cemetery. Nobody really knows where her grave is because they kind of.
My mom was at the hotel in Beverly Hills where she died.
When she died?
Not when she died.
No. Oh, she was at that hotel.
Yeah. The other day she was like, girl, Whitney died up in here.
Yeah. It's like haunted, right?
Right.
Freaky. Yeah.
I was like, what room?
Yeah. Does anybody even know? Yeah. No, I don't think anybody knows. Yeah.
Got to be one of the suites though, right?
I would hope so. Yeah.
She's not in like the lowly.
Doing that poor. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But who knows? You can see. Don't forget about me.
Oh, Mitch, I get your emails every day.
That's true. You won't. So
I won't forget about
you. Don't unsubscribe then, because then you'll forget about me. Yeah.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
So when you do get cast and you know something's going on, you got to tell me so we can, well, you don't know if it's going to be in New York or you're going to have to travel or maybe come back, right?
Yeah. I mean, the goal is always New York City, like literally even going from tour to Broadway. It's a pay cut. Broadway is a pay cut, but no one cares because it's Broadway. Like,
right.
I love working in the city.
Plus, it's probably hard to be on the road all the time, right?
It is.
Like, where do you stay when you're there? They put you up in hotels.
Hotel after hotel. Like, yeah. I used to feel like, ugh, the hotels are so gross and nasty. Then after living on the road for 2 years, I was like, hotels are gross and nasty because of people like us who live in them. Like...
Yeah, that's pretty
and who
funny.
Trashed them.
Yeah.
Like, it's us. Like,
yeah, sure. Because you're like, well, I don't need to let the maid clean it up, right?
Oh,
I mean, yeah, the housekeeping.
Oh,
yeah. You get, I remember when I go to the paper mill in Millburn and they have shows, I think they put the kids up in the city. They would take them on buses. And I'm like, well, why don't they just, yeah, it's weird. I don't know why.
How long is that commute? I've never worked at paper mill, but I've always wanted to.
Well, Millburn is from the city. I don't know, 40 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad at all. That's my commute to Times Square.
When it's like 1 o'clock in the morning and you got a show the next day and you're exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, are there hotels there? There must be hotels nearby. I don't know.
Oh, I don't dang. Know. Yeah, there's something to be said, like living out of your suitcase. And I remember like when I was on the road, I was literally on someone's news channel. I forgot what city I was in. She was like, so like, if you travel all the time, like, where do you live? And on air.
On the bus. What are you talking about?
Literally, I realized live that
you're
I was homeless.
Yeah, it's true.
I was like.
Well, you're working, you know, yeah, it's like you're working on location.
I don't have a home.
I mean, if you were in the movies, right, and you're going from movie to movie to movie, you'd have a home somewhere,
yeah.
But you wouldn't be going there all the time. You'd be traveling and living, but you'd be better hotels probably. They don't put you in the top notch hotels, right? They're on budget.
Well, both. So like
sometimes
we got per diem. And so we got a nice healthy sum of like money that had nothing to do with our salary. And they would give us hotel
options.
To cover
your daily expenses.
Including hotels. And so
you can choose a little bit.
They would give us option A and option B. Option A was usually kind of bougie.
Right.
Option B would be a little bit more humble. And then if you really wanted to, you can get your own Airbnb and have roommates and save even more of that per diem.
Oh, so the per diem you would get, it would be fixed. And then if you wanted to lump it a little bit or make roommates and whatever,
you could save
money.
More. Yes.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
so there'd be some cities where I'd be like, all right, let's do the ghetto option. And then other cities where I'm like, let's stay at the Four freaking Seasons. Like,
yeah,
let's go.
I don't know. If I was in New York, are there Airbnbs in New York? Yeah, there's apartments, I guess, right? People at Airbnb their apartment. There's no houses in New York. I mean, unless you go up to the Bronx or something.
I mean, I didn't have my own home when I was on the road. But everyone did something different. They would sublet out their place or their husband would be there.
Yeah, right. Wow. All right. So even though we're on PodMax, we're just having fun today and talking about all kinds of cool stuff.
I know.
My podcast is a business podcast. So let's talk. I'm curious. I want to know more about like the business of performing arts, let's call it, right? Because there's theater, movies, whatever, right? So you said you have an agent. Mm-hmm. Who that is. You said you have an agent. So how do you, like, you're basically like an entrepreneur. You got to run your own stuff, right?
Yeah, you're right. I am an entrepreneur, but I never thought about that until like,
well, you're not on this salary. Pandemic. You're not on salary, right? So when you get paid,
in a show,
you do get a W-2?
Yes.
Okay. But you have to file your own taxes, right?
I have my tax person.
You're a CPA, whatever. Do you have to pay taxes in every city in which you perform?
Every state? So
you
the first time, it's like 16 states I filed in.
Oh my God.
I know. It's like it cost me like,
it's expensive.
$900 to get my taxes done. But she got me like $12,000 back. Like,
it only cost you $900 to do 16 states?
You say only? That's a lot to me.
No. Here, if just for your personal return here in New Jersey would be like, let's say $600. And if you had an LLC or a little company, they might charge you $1,500 for the company, $2,500 for the company. If I said, listen, I have a company, I do business in 16 states, I'd probably get like a $5,000-$6,000 bill for my CPA.
But I haven't incorporated yet. And
it's
right
just
before
you.
This, yeah, it's just me. And right before this pandemic, I was just about to set up my LLC I'm glad I hadn't, because I wouldn't have been able to, but I was so
just
close
wait.
And I was already nervous, but she's like, Salisha, you're ready. But I just would have never known about this pandemic. But when I am back working,
so then they would pay your LLC. Is that what would happen? Or do you know if you perform, you still get paid individually, right?
They would pay my LLC. So if I was like Salisha Thomas Productions, they would pay them and then I would pay myself.
Yeah. You can take money out of that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's different. And then you have to file different forms in each state. Then you file your federal form. I'm sure whoever your CPA is used to doing that, right? She works with performers, right? They travel.
Yeah.
I'm sure sports players are the same way. Okay. So you have that. So how did you find your agent? Like, how did you pick this person?
Oh my goodness. Well, I've had a few different agents over the years. I can't even believe I can say that, because it wasn't that long ago when I was asking, how do you get an agent? Now I've gone through a few of them. And the agent I have now is, I love him. I trust him. I feel like he has my back. I don't ever have to beg him. Can you get me in the room? Can you get me in the room? If he can get me in the room, it's already done. I already have the appointment sitting in my inbox. He's the first agent that I've not had to like, hey, remember me?
Like, on him. Yeah, right.
Yeah, like he's on it. And the way I got him, I was on tour. I had just fired my old agents because they were lying to me. Don't even get me started. That was a whole mess. And a few of my friends in the industry who are very successful were also with them, and they had done some bad things to them as well. And so my friends also had to fire them. I'm like, what is going on with this agency? So for my new agent, I had snail mailed a lot of different agencies, wrote them through their website, submitted online. But the agencies that I really wanted, I snail mailed them, wrote a cover letter, and I personalized it. It wasn't just like one size fits all.
Right.
So the one I really wanted, I was calling them out by name and being like, go Cubs, and like telling them about me.
But you did research on them.
I did my research.
Yeah.
And I said, because I was still on tour, I was like, I'll be in the city this day and this day from this time to this time, and I'll be meeting with other agencies.
Right.
And so I would love to set up a time while I'm in town. I hadn't set up anything with anybody else.
But that doesn't matter. You don't tell people that.
I didn't.
Because you want them to think that not only are they interviewing you, but you're interviewing them.
Yes. Yes.
Them on their best behavior. Yeah.
They wrote me back right away. They were like, we got your packet in the mail. We would love to meet with you. How was this time? Or how was this time? And I met with them in person, and they were so cool. They were cool.
Is it a smaller agency? Like, you deal with the principals mostly, or is it a big agency?
It felt bigger than any agency I'd been a part of. And like, it didn't feel boutique. And it also felt like They had a legit office.
Like they knew what they were doing. Yeah.
They knew what they were doing.
You said they were in California, right?
New York City.
Oh, New York City. Okay.
Yeah, it's my number one choice. And they signed me the next day.
Nice. Okay. But they're not your business managers, meaning, right? They don't manage your finances, do they? You take your money in, pay your expenses, whatever.
Yeah. So far, I've been the one handling all that stuff. And so I've got a whole bunch of books behind me about finances and money because I'm always like, looking for answers. No one ever really taught me growing up. And so whenever I get
you.
Right?
Like, no, they don't.
I was
And by the way, in your business, a lot of people, because you're creative, right? They ignore that stuff. And then they meet somebody and somebody says, I can manage your money and manage your, and then they steal from you. So you got
to
be real careful.
Exactly. So you have to know what's going on. When I was in like early 20s, 2021 at Disneyland, one of our supervisors, she was like, I got this great book by Susie Orman. And she was telling us all about it. And she was like, I think we can set up you guys' 401k. Like literally a bunch of kids just like trying to figure this thing out. And we did. I figured out what a 401k was and a Roth was. And and we just got it from like
IRA.
A book. Yeah.
That's another reason why you want to do an LLC, because you can set up an account like that. You could still do an IRA and a Roth IRA, but yeah.
It was just so helpful. And so learning about that, I was like, what's a credit card? Why do I need one? And figuring out, okay, I have to have a credit card to play the game. So I have credit, whatever. How does it work?
Yeah,
so I don't abuse it.
You need a little bit of credit. Right.
Yeah. And just
also
like,
use debit, you know.
Do you get credit?
No.
Can you build your?
No.
Okay.
You can't. Prepaid cards, I think you can, but not a debit card. But I'm saying, if you don't want to get in trouble too much credit, use a little bit of that. Use your debit card to pay for your business expenses in cash, you know?
Right. Well, yeah. So I learned about all this stuff, but as of right now, like I'm the only one managing it, but
you're the whole company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know what's going on.
Right.
So one day when I do hire somebody.
Now, what do you do for benefits like health insurance? How do you get that? Is that through the actors?
You're gonna make me cry.
Location. What?
So I love my health insurance through Equity, the union that I'm in, like the to be an actress, like a professional actress on stage. It's with Actors Equity. The health insurance that comes with that, it's called Cigna. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. But in this pandemic, after not working for so long,
you can't lose it. Because you have to be working. You have to show you're actively at work.
Yeah. And this is the first time since 2014 where I've not actively worked. I needed have always been there.
So they took the health insurance away?
Yeah, they did. But the act, there's something called the Actors Fund. And you might hear a lot of people in the Broadway industry saying like, donate to Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, it helps actors. Well, I've been the one saying that as well, like donate, but I've never actually utilized it. And I'm actually one who I'm like, hey, I've been impacted by this.
So that's
pandemic.
What it's for. It's for these kind of things.
Yes. And so I reached out to the Actors Fund and somebody called me back and helped me get set up with health insurance.
Yeah, like basic personal coverage for now.
Yeah. So it's not nothing. I'm like, I really want my old insurance back.
What is it, Horizon? Empire Blue Cross? Something like that?
Yeah.
A lot of the individual plans are Blue Cross, yeah.
Blue Cross or Medicare.
New York is Empire Blue Cross, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's enough to get me by. I miss the other stuff. Like my dermatologist
You know why? Because you're in an association plan. So it's a big group of people all pooling together.
Oh, yeah. It makes a difference. Like with the other health insurance, I'm like, wait. I can go to therapy for $25 a week. Great. I can go have this guy check out my freaking skin whenever I want. Like my skin
was.
Yeah,
you don't have those benefits now.
No.
No, I'm like, individual coverage is basic. Yeah.
My sweet boyfriend, he's like, you still look beautiful. I'm like, pimples everywhere. I'm like, I need my health insurance back.
That's so funny.
I know.
But once you get back to Broadway and get working, then you can move back over, right?
I hope so.
I would think once you hit 25 hours or something a week or whatever the requirement are in the plan. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I would
first order of business.
Yeah. No, look, I have the same problem. I have it through an association plan, the business association, because I'm one person and one person insurance stinks. So I get it through that. Probably I give the same insurance, but it saved me like $600 a month doing it through the association because it's a big group and they get better rates than on the street. Yeah.
I'm exactly. learning.
Yeah. Well, that's podcast. What it is. It's just the law of large numbers, you know. So they right. give a better deal to the association because they know they have thousands of members as opposed to you. You're one person walking in off the street and they're like, well, we don't know, you know.
Yeah, they're like, instead of a $25 copay, they're like, it's $250. I'm like,
there
wait,
you go, you see?
What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I feel like, man, I was spoiled.
Yeah, my deductible is like $1,500 for the family, you know. I'm not talking about copays. Copays, like you go to the doctor for like a visit, it's like $50. But first you have to pay $1,500 your first, yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So what other benefits did you get? You have to set up your own retirement account, right? You can't, that's not through the equity.
It's through the union. Yeah.
Oh, it is through the union.
Yeah.
Okay.
The union will, a lot of people don't like our union, but I really like it, except for when I don't like them asking for dues. How dare you?
Got to keep it going somehow.
You're not
going
to ask me for dues. You know, I haven't been working because the whole industry doesn't exist.
They call you for dues like during the pandemic?
Yeah. They had just raised the price. I'm like,
how you got to pay your dues. You're like, when none of us are working, how are we paying our dues? Yeah.
Like literally I laughed and threw it in the trash. And then when I turned on my Instagram, people were mad. They're like, how dare you ask for dues? We're all out of work.
Right. Exactly.
But like you're saying, they got to keep it going somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All the nonprofits, it was, you know, they're still looking for donors. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. What are you up for now on Broadway? What are you waiting on? Are we allowed to say? Not that many people listen to my podcast anyway.
Shut up.
No. I'm telling
you're
a lot
like,
of
it's
people.
It's just you and me. It's just you.
It's like 27 of us. So don't. Not that
no,
many.
I'm waiting for the Britney Spears musical. That's okay. What I was in rehearsals for at the
now,
beginning.
Is that a done deal? Meaning they're going to get a cast and it's going up.
Yeah.
So they wrote They've it. Already, it's not like they're going to call you one day and say, so Alicia, remember that role that we cast you for? Well, the whole play is not taken off. They've already raised the money and stuff. The
money is raised. They've already made their announcement.
Okay.
And so now, and word on the street is offers are going out soon. But
and that's a
track.
That's a tour.
No.
Oh, that's Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Out of town will be in DC and then coming into the city shortly after that. But of course, nothing is done until there's a contract. So,
of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Who knows?
All right.
But I feel like if there's anything that I've learned,
keep us all in the loop.
I will.
Yeah.
If there's anything that I've learned during this pandemic, it's that I already knew that there was a higher power. I've been a God
have
freak
to believe.
Since I was a young child. But I know during this time, it's like truly my whole life force is in the hands of someone way greater than me. And so I'm trusting in my God, honey, like, I've been okay this whole time.
But it's because you believed it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we attract things. This is my belief, right? So we're attracting beings. We attract things.
Yeah.
So we either attract negative things or we attract positive things. We don't repel negative things. If we think about negative things,
the
as
negative
much
things,
as we, they come anyway,
yes!
right? Exactly. Yes. But you're a very positive person. So therefore the positive things will happen in life.
Ah, oh, thank
you. The self-fulfilling prophecy.
True.
You get to my age and you're cynical, it doesn't work. And that's another thing. Like on Broadway and in acting stuff, got to stay away from the cynical people. Don't let these older people get you down. Just because they're miserable or cynical about stuff, you don't have to be.
Oh, that's
You'd be happy and smiling and whatever.
And enjoying it. And if you're not enjoying it, move on.
Yeah.
To something that you enjoy.
Right. That's the biggest problem. I was talking to Amber about that in the last interview, about people that are really unhappy in their life and they don't think that they can change it. And they're like, I can't change this. Well, of course you can. It may not be easy, but it's all, you know, you can change your mindset. You can start to change what you do. You can eventually get to where you want to go, but you have to try. Nobody's going to do it for you. You can't, you know, pray to God and be miserable all the time and say, well, God, whatever, he'll figure it out. That doesn't work that way. Right. You have to be positive about it. You have to believe. And you also have to take actions at the same time. And then it all kind of comes together.
Wow.
You didn't like sit around and say, I want to be on Broadway, but stay in California.
Correct.
You moved. You did stuff.
Correct. And I do feel like there was a higher power at work, but I also had to put in
Yeah, he gives you the tools. You've got to, right? If you're on the lake in a boat and there's lightning, you could pray to God, but you got to have rowed ashore too.
Right.
He gave you the boat.
And the oars.
Yeah. He's like, what are you doing? I gave it to you. You got to have rowed ashore, you know.
Go.
Yeah. So that's I think you do it right. I think you get that right. But I know we're running out of time because I saw little signs popping up. But I can't thank you enough. I want
to
hear about your new podcast. What's the name of the new podcast?
The Salisha Show.
Very good. Okay. And how many episodes we got?
I have recorded 3, but it's not launched yet. So.
Okay. Oh, they're in production.
In production.
In editing. Okay.
Yeah.
And is it an interview show?
Yes, it is. Okay. And it's starting with video. So my podcast, Black Hair in the Big Leagues, it's primarily audio, but I have video for all of them, but it's because it's primarily
audio. It's funny that it's Black Hair in the Big Leagues and nobody can say anything about his hair.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. And so the Salisha Show is learning from that. And I've started with how we're talking now, streaming live to my Facebook and eventually YouTube as well. And then extrapolating audio that way. So it's in production, but also people have already been exposed to some of the episodes.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on with me.
Let's
stay in touch. And then if you're looking for certain guests, I don't know if I fit your profile, but if you're looking for certain guests, tell me and we'll connect you with, I'm always good that way. And so I can't thank you enough. This is so exciting to reconnect.
Yes, I agree.
What's going on in your life?
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Mitch. You're awesome.
All right. Thanks, Alicia.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.